Today, our scripture text is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 12. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to that chapter, or you can read off the screen or listen to my wonderful voice. So, Exodus 20, verses 1 to 12. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, from the beginning of the month, we have had many events celebrating Pentecost. We had the Pentecost rededication prayer service. Then we had Pastor Joseph preaching on Pentecost last week, on the actual Pentecost weekend. Pentecost has always celebrated the creation of the kingdom of God here on earth. In the book of Acts, Pentecost was the day that God sent the Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, so we would become one, just as Christ, Jesus Christ and the Father are one. The Holy Spirit sent through our Lord Jesus Christ to us. Through him, we became one body, and more appropriately, we became one family. This is the reason you can turn to each other now and say, hi there, brother / sister. Yeah, because through the Holy Spirit, we have been made one family. And it's only through that that we can call each other brother and sister. In the text we have read today, it actually recounts the very first occurrence of Pentecost. On that occasion, God gave the Ten Commandments. This law was meant to be the embodiment of the Holy Spirit. The very first Pentecost recorded in Exodus was a celebration of God giving the law through Moses to the 12 tribes of Israel. The giving of the law created and bound these 12 tribes of Israel into one nation. And this was Israel, God's own kingdom on earth. The first act of King Yahweh then, in giving his law, was to unite all the families of Israel into one family under one king, obeying one law by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here we see two separate acts at two different times. In one instance, God gave his Spirit to his church. In the other, God gave his law to his people. Two separate actions, one common purpose, to create one family in God. In the first Pentecost in the wilderness, God gave through Moses his law and created his new kingdom of Israel here on earth. On the Pentecost of the church, God through Jesus gave to the Jew and the Gentiles alike, the Holy Spirit, recreating that very same kingdom in us. Both these kingdom-creating acts had one thing in common. That was to show us that God always starts His kingdom by first making His people one family. To build the kingdom of God then, it's not primarily about attending baptism and membership classes, Bible study, going on missions, or even serving in the church. The first step to building the kingdom of God is actually to focus on the family. This month, as some of you may know, is actually Family Month, our month, yay. And how fitting that it has come right after Pentecost. If God's first priority has to been to focus on the family, then it is right that we, His people, His family, should also focus ourselves onto our families in this season. For that reason, we will be preaching a series on the family during Family Month. On later weeks, as you have seen Pastor Seng Yen's handsome face on the announcement, we will hear about brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. But today, the topic is about honoring one's father and mother. As mentioned earlier, God's number one priority in kingdom building, aside from loving Him, of course, loving Him is how you get into the kingdom, but after that, what to do, right? What to do is adhere to God's number one priority, which is forming and maintaining a family. In our text today, we see the evidence of this in no uncertain terms. The commandments, both in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, are placed in order of importance. So the first most important command is, you shall have no other gods before me, or love the Lord your God, right? That is the most important. That then followed in descending order, then you have the laws in order of importance, starting at the most important to a bit less important, but still very important, okay? The first priority of the family or kingdom of God will always be to love and be loyal to Yahweh and Yahweh alone. This is seen in the first four commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no carved images, no taking the name of the Lord your God in vain, and you shall keep the Sabbath. All these four are related to God, right? Starting from the fifth, however, God lets His people know what His rule over them means for their community and for their society, for their relations between each other. If you were Moses, all alone up on Mount Sinai, now would be the best time to inscribe into the tablet and establish your future. It would be the best time to write, also, you shall remember Moses. You shall give to Moses every fourth bull, third sandal, fifth shekel, and whatever that is of monetary value, right? For he is God's prophet to you, thus saith the Lord. Moses, to his credit, never wrote anything of that sort. Despite it all, he was a pretty great man. And so we have the fifth commandment found in verse 12. Verse 12, it reads, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord is giving you. So right after loving Yahweh, keeping away from idolatry and reverencing God, God starts the rule of His kingdom, the rule of a socio-political kingdom with honor your father and mother. Quite odd, don't you think? Ruling a kingdom requires military, requires a rule of law, requires all of this. Why does it start with honor your father and mother? What does ruling have a kingdom have to do with the command to honor, or the word in Hebrew is kavod, to glorify, to prioritize your parents? What's even more peculiar is the promise that is tied to this command, the promise being, so that or in order that your days may be long upon the land your God is giving you. As Singaporeans, hardly any of us have own land, right? And most of the land we own is actually owned by someone else, right? So what is this about, right? What is this commandment going on about? I've heard some preachers make much of the fact that this is the only commandment with a promise. And some others even interpret this commandment as meaning that if you honor your father and mother, there's a surefire way to extend your life. You know, live long and prosper. But personally, if I have to live longer bound to a wheelchair or bedridden in some hospital, I might just, at the end of my days, regret honoring my father and my mother. No offense, Mom, I don't know which one they're going to take to record. So what is this promise in verse 12 actually doing? Well, it is much, much more significant than being a special snowflake law or a surefire way to extend life. What is happening here is that God is tying into this commandment, the command to honor father and mother, with the very survival of Israel as a sovereign, independent nation state. The very existence of the earthly kingdom of God, God is pegging onto this command. How is that so? You may ask. Well, to be a nation or sovereign state, one actually needs to have three things, right? These are, one, a permanent population. So in Exodus, you have the Israelites. Are they a permanent population? Yes. Okay, first one, tick. Second, a nation must have a government, a rule of law, something that everybody agrees to abide by and that they will enforce together. Here, God is giving through Moses the Torah, the law of God, and here, all the Israelites will abide by it. Two, that's the government, check. Three, you must have all three in order to be a nation. Three, land, permanent territory, a place to dwell, a place to live, and a place to come back again. Do the Israelites have this in Exodus 20? Not yet, but God is giving it to them. So once Israel has this land, they will formally become the nation of Israel, the kingdom of God on earth. But then again, once Israel does not have this land, once it is removed from them or they are conquered by a foreign power, they lose this third constituent requirement, and the nation state, the kingdom of God, will become no more. The fifth commandment then, the honoring of parents, was directly tied with the existence of Israel as a nation. Can you imagine if in our Singapore constitution, the penalty for not honoring your father and mother was that you would lose your land to a foreign power? That means, oh, somebody come to you and say, oh, you haven't honored your father and mother. Welcome to Malaysia. Right? That's so insane. That's crazy. That's mad, right? That, however, is the significance of the fifth commandment of God. God wills that his kingdom rises and falls on the basis of how we honor our fathers and mothers. The kingdom of God starts with family. Let us then start at home. As I may have said before in my earlier sermons, I was a selfish child growing up. As such, I found it monumentally difficult to honor my parents. My mom is a regretful witness to this. In my defense though, as a child's developmental stage, it usually doesn't allow them to think outside of themselves until about 19, where the brain is a bit more developed and relationships become more important to the individual. Then they are able to think, we are able to think that way. So, still not so bad. But at 19, I was still no angel lah. Right. The fifth commandment, much misused over the years, was in fact not given, however, to underdeveloped children. In Exodus and in Deuteronomy, the Torah was given as God's rules for society, and it was given to those who were already adults. To honor father and mother was thereby a duty of those that had helped their elderly parents cross the Red Sea. It was a duty of those who had the strength and the will, the responsibility to leave their house every morning, collect manna for the household, come back and provide for everybody. And it was a duty for those who were strong enough and courageous enough to take up arms, fight, kill, and destroy the Amalekite army in Exodus 17. This is a commandment that may be a goal for children. At the end, when they grow up into adults, maybe they can achieve it. But it is immediately expected of people like you and me. It is the fifth commandment is meant for fully fledged adults to achieve today. So how can we honor, or as the Hebrew word puts it, glorify or prioritize our father and mother? The kingdom of God always starts with family. So it is right that we should do the same. We should start at our own homes. Our elderly parents have seen a lot in their lives. They have done a lot in their days and endured much more than we, our children, often give them credit for. Have you spent time to honor and celebrate the individual person of your father and mother? How much do you even know of their life and deeds? What do you know of their accomplishments and even disappointments? Some of you here know my father. It is so apt that we are celebrating Father's Day today and I'm preaching on this particular topic. God really does have a sense of occasion. As I was saying, some of you know my father. And first of all, I'd like to thank this entire community, all of you, for your love and in fact, continued support, loving support up to now. Since my father died in 2017, you have never ceased to show me and my family care. And I really appreciate, our family really appreciates all of you for that. But what my father's passing brought home to me was that you never know the time nor the day where you can no longer honor, love, cherish, and celebrate your father face to face. The place where I know I honored my earthly father, Mr. Leong Wai Kong, love you, Pops, was actually in the last few days of his hospitalization at Mount Elizabeth. He was in bad shape at the time and was hooked up to all manner of life-saving and life-preserving equipment. I had flown back midway into my honeymoon because his situation had made a drastic turn for the worse, and standing to the left of his bed, I had with me the letter that I had prepared on the way home. That day, I honored my father by telling him and thanking him for how he, through his life, had taught me to be a man who loved others more than myself, more than himself, a man who would be humble enough to change, and a man who would never stop trying his best for his family. Would you cherish the time you have with your father and mother today? How do you think you can honor them before you can't any longer? The kingdom of God always starts with family. Start at home. Some of us here may not have fond memories or even opinions of our parents. Maybe your father was abusive. Maybe your mother never cared for you. It may well be that your parents are honestly not deserving of your love. Some parents, unfortunately, just aren't. Maybe you are one of those I'm talking about, and you say, How can I honor these people? Don't you know what they've done to me? It can genuinely seem impossible to honor those that don't deserve it. First of all, if that's you I'm talking about today, I want you to know that you are not alone in your duty to honor father and mother. As a kingdom of God, as your church family, we are here to support you and obey God's command as one. I would encourage you to take steps, even if those steps may be very small. Each of those minute steps, small as they may be, is already giving honor to your father and mother. It can be a message, simply saying hi, or how are you, or 1 minute call, or even something given anonymously. As you try your best to honor those parents unworthy of honor, you are being the kingdom of God. And in so doing, you will fulfill the law and spirit of God's love that has commanded us to have. The kingdom of God starts with family. It may seem impossible, but the kingdom starts at home. The kingdom of God starts at home, but as it was in Exodus, the kingdom also stretches out from the home into the community at large. Two of the best and most recent initiatives of the government have been the Pioneer and the Merdeka Generation initiatives. Okay, far be it from me to be a preacher for the government, but these initiatives, benefits notwithstanding, actually fulfill the fullness, even the spirit of the fifth commandment. Honoring father and mother is, in fact, not supposed to be some private duty for each individual person to do. It's supposed to be a national one. The kingdom of God starts at home, yes, but it also necessarily extends into the community. In our text today, the responsibility of honoring father and mother was not just each individual son's or daughter's duty, but as I mentioned earlier, the commandments were a community project. They were commandments not just for priests, the Levites, or Moses, or Aaron, or Joseph Yu, or Pastor Daniel Wee, but for the whole people of Israel, for all of us to accomplish together. In Exodus 24, verse 3, after the Torah was given, the scripture tells us so. It says, verse 3, "So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord has said, we will do.'" And if you didn't get it the first time, in verse 7, it says again, "Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient.'" Israel, as the kingdom of God, was to fulfill God's law, or God himself would not permit their nation to exist for long. It is our responsibility as the kingdom of that same king, not just to honor our own parents, but also to care for the parents of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we want to dwell long in the salvation that our Lord is giving us, we are to extend honor to fathers, to the fathers and mothers of our community. The kingdom of God is the responsibility of our community. When I first joined KUS full-time about 3 years ago, there was a man who regularly attended our services. He was often called Uncle Jay, not his real name, and he would always come, walk around the front and find a seat on the third aisle or so and promptly fall asleep. He would come in at whatever time he reached church. and that meant any time from the middle of worship all the way to after the closing prayer. The most challenging thing about being around Uncle Jay Perhaps even more so than catching a hold of him. He is a very ephemeral man. What was more challenging than that was actually being around him. Uncle Jay had incontinence of the bowels and bladder. And even though he tried to stay as clean as he could, he would invariably end up soiling himself. This, of course, caused quite a large space of environmental nasal discomfort to those sitting around him. Uncle Jay lived alone and was for the longest time uncared for by his family. Okay, for those of us here who knew Uncle Jay, the man certainly was no saint. He always wanted his own way, was a pretty inconsiderate guy, even considering his situation, and was extremely stubborn in his ways. His family actually tried to care for him, but eventually even they came to their wits' end, and at some point they felt they had no alternative but to leave him to his own devices. His immediate family, at least, tried their best to honor him. But can the same be said for us as a community? Did we seek to, as a community commanded by God, did we seek to honor and care for this man? The kingdom of God is the responsibility of the community. The story of Uncle Jay, unfortunately, is not a unique one. There are other stories much like his. Other elderly fathers and mothers in our community that for some reason or another end up neglected or abandoned. Am I saying that we should, as each individual member, go and find the old and the neglected or abandoned elder and care for them 365 days a year, 7 days a week, and 24 hours a day? Well, no, I am not asking us to do that. If I expected that, then we would be called nursing home of our Savior instead. What I am asking us to do is actually to simply be concerned for the elderly in our community. Ask about one another's parents. How are they? Visit each other's homes. Honor the fathers and mothers of your brothers and sisters. For in so doing, you will enter into life. The kingdom of God is established through our community, through the actions that we do to each other. This honoring of fathers and mothers also necessarily extends to the single elderly of our community. Our fathers and mothers were not alone in giving care to us, nor in bringing us up. They were helped by their community and by those who may not have been given the blessing of a family of their own. They too, these single elderly, are our forebears and elders. And as much as we are tasked to honor the fathers and mothers of our community, we are in the same way mandated to honor these single elderly as well. Some of these aunties and uncles, we know some of them, they are connected to us directly. Others are connected to us through ministries or even a friend of a friend. Let us show our love and concern for them, not forgetting that God has connected us to them for the very reason of honoring them. Earlier in this section, I brought up the Pioneer and Merdeka Generation initiatives. This is meant to remind us that when we mean honor, what it means to honor is to support in tangible, financial, and personal means. This means giving up some time. This means giving up some money to support them personally, to show honor and love to them through, as it were, palm-on-palm contact, to love them directly, intangible means. I mentioned at the start of my sermon that honoring our fathers and mothers was the first commandment given concerning how the people of God were to treat each other. The fifth commandment is not only unique in the fact that it is the only commandment with a promise, but also that it is the only commandment that requires us to do something for someone else. The rest of the commandments, 6 to 10, are actually do not commandments. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not covet, do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. The fifth commandment, however, tells us that above the basic idea of not harming others, we are to both individually and as a community honor each other, honor our, starting with, of course, our own fathers and mothers. It should not come as a surprise then that the very same man who told his disciples to love God more than father or mother, as he was hanging on the cross, looked onto his mother and sought to honor her, even in his final hours. In John 19, verses 25 to 27, the evangelist recounts to us, "Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." The man who came not to abolish the law always fulfilled it. Even racked with pain on the cross, Jesus recognized that he would not be able to personally care for his mother. At that time, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, depended on the community of faith, depended on his disciple to fulfill this command. The kingdom of God, thereby, isn't firstly about how much money you give, how many ministries you do, or even how many souls you save. The kingdom of God starts with family, begins at home, and always extends out into the community. Honoring father and mother is not just about young people caring for the elderly, but everyone, young, old, medium, whatever, as one community obeying one law and together creating one culture of love and honor, especially to those who are our forebears. Honoring father and mother may not be possible on our own, but perhaps it was always meant to be a community command. Perhaps it was always meant to be a community effort. Even Jesus, even our Lord, needed help to fulfill it. May we, the people of God, do what the Lord has said and be obedient to his command. Let us honor our father and mother as one family for the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all the fathers and mothers in our community, for our very own fathers and mothers. Lord, not just for them, but also for their generation that has come before them. Lord, as we leave this place, we pray that you send upon us your Holy Spirit. Grant us a largeness of heart. Grant us love and the ability to forgive, that we may honor our father and mother and dwell long in the salvation that you have won for us on the cross. Lord, we pray, convict our hearts, grant us strength, and most of all, grant us love for those elderly in our community. May we reach out to them and show them the love of Christ. For in so doing, all who are without your church, may look into your church and praise our Father in heaven. Lord, we pray, give us strength and the grace of your Holy Spirit to honor your commandments and to do them, honoring each other and creating a culture and a community of love. This we pray in your most holy name, Lord. Amen. Let us rise to sing this song of response. Let us, once again, let us together affirm that we will do the commandments of the Lord. Let us affirm that we will honor our fathers and mothers in this community and even the generation that has come before. When I say all that the Lord has said, we will say together, we will do, okay? All that the Lord has said, we will do. Amen. Lord, you have heard the declaration of your people, the commitment to do the commandments which you have set before us. Lord, send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. May we glorify you forever, O Lord, and may your name be greatly praised in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The service is now over. Please enjoy the Father's Day hospitality. Please remember to love your parents today.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.